If two people are not growing together, then they may unknowingly be growing apart. So that's the principle, that's the idea. Now, why is it that we're building a section like this into the Life Coaching Certificate course? Well, if you can hopefully cast your mind back to video one, section one, the quality of our lives is 9 times out of 10 often determined by the quality of the relationships that we keep. All right, what do you think it is that actually drives a man to spend 7 days a week working hard from first thing in the morning right through to evening, sacrificing the time he could spend with his wife, his children, things like that? Is it just because he's a bad man? Is it because he's a thoughtless man? Or is it because he doesn't know how to build the kind of strong, robust, healthy, intimate, meaningful relationships with his family members that he wants to? Now, I'm not just talking guys here. I'm talking about us as human beings building robust relationships. I mean, I'm guessing that if we all were experts at this in the world, then there wouldn't be any issues or problems in the world, full stop. There wouldn't be any need for wars. Why? Because we'd all be unconditionally accepting each other, seeking to understand each other. There wouldn't be any conflicts, any debates, any arguments, anything like this. But the truth of the matter is that there are, the world so often seems like it's kind of falling apart because people cannot or will not fight to see eye to eye. So again, the other principle that at all times in our every single relationship, we are going to be fighting to remain connected with a person, or we're going to be choosing to disconnect with a person. Now here's the thing, most people would say that they genuinely do want better degrees of connection in their lives, but most people don't know how to get this. So in this video, I want to share with you how. I want to look at the 7 pillars of strong and robust healthy relationships. This is an idea, it's a framework that you can build not just into your personal life, your intimate relationships, your social relationships, you can build it into your professional ones as well. All right, so I'm going to give you a little bit of context on how we do this. Think about the ancient Greeks or the Romans when they were building their empires. What would happen? They would build some strong, robust foundations first and foremost, then they would build pillars and all sorts of glorious monuments that could hold ever so much weight. I can remember, when was it, 2011, I went across to Haiti after the massive earthquake had killed around about 250,000 people. And what I'd learned, you know, when I was over there, was that the infrastructure of the nation was not strong. Many of the foundations that had been laid, that buildings had been constructed upon, had been done so not cost effectively. There's something saying that one is being cost effective, and there's another person that would say that one is just being cheap. All right, and what I'm saying is the infrastructure that had been laid in the nation of Haiti was not strong enough to sustain and uphold a number of the buildings that had been constructed. And there was one building in particular, I think it was a school. And this school was, I think it was a 3 or 4 level building. And these massively, you know, dense concrete slabs had been lifted up and erected and placed upon walls that were just strong enough to hold them up and prop them up. But the problem was when the earthquake came and the foundations of the building just crumbled and fell apart, the walls came down, and then the big slabs of concrete kind of had that pancake effect. And I remember one instance where I think it was a couple of thousand children and young people had been literally just killed just like that because the foundations were not in place. Right, I'm talking metaphorically in this section here. I'm talking about principles. I'm talking about building some strong foundations. It's only when we have strong foundations in our life that we can build up in a sustainable way. And when it comes to our relationships, the quality of our lives is going to be determined by the quality and the caliber of the relationships that we keep. What is it then that must be the foundations of every relationship that we go on to build? Be this intimate relationships, be this personal, social, professional. Unconditional acceptance. Let me cast your mind back to the Carl Rogers principle that I shared back at the start of the last section. Remember the core conditions that must be in place for a healthy, helping relationship to sustain? There's congruence and unconditional positive regard, otherwise referred to as unconditional acceptance. Think about how it is that you tend to instinctively respond towards another person who has just assumed the worst off you. When a person has judged you or is in the process of judging you or undermining you or belittling you, which again is just judgment, right? This judgment trap that many of us fall into sometimes when we see ourselves as being better than some people, or we sometimes see ourselves as being not as good as some people. We sometimes look up to people, sometimes we look down on people. Well, either way is just a form of judgment. Judgment pretty much operates at the opposite end of the spectrum from unconditional acceptance. Now, don't get me wrong, all right? There's some things that unconditional acceptance are and is, and there's some things that unconditional acceptance definitely isn't. So I've worked with people over the years, and I have some people that I'm in a level of relationship with who will speak to me completely dishonorably sometimes, who will be assumptuous, they will act and behave in ways that just aren't okay with me, all right? And whilst I don't address or wouldn't acknowledge or I don't approve of the attitudes, the actions and the behaviors, right, this never stops me from unconditionally accepting the person. What I'm saying is that I understand the foundations that must be in place for any relationship to sustain. It is crucial as life coaches that we learn how to separate people's actions and attitudes and habits from their behaviours, from who they actually are. And this kind of ties back to the presupposition that is shared right back in section one. Remember that beautiful attitude, looking at people as if they actually don't have any bad intentions? Well, the only time that we ever assume people have bad intentions is when we're judging their attitudes, their habits, and their actions or behaviours. But if we acknowledge that all people are just simply flawed and imperfect, and if we also acknowledge the beautiful attitude that all people are just simply doing the best with what they have, then it allows us to extend this unconditional acceptance, be a little bit more compassionate and offer people this level of grace so that we can get the foundations of trust in place and ultimately begin to better understand them moving forward. All right, so think about what must be in place for you in order for you to start opening yourself up and sharing yourself with another person. I, the kind of person who just wears his or her heart on our sleeve, and every single person that comes into your life, you just share them absolutely everything about you and all your woes and all your this and all your that. Well, if that's the kind of person that you are, my friend, we might want to talk about some boundaries here. You know, boundaries, many people see as being not good things, right? I see boundaries as being fantastic things we can build into our lives. Boundaries for me isn't about keeping people out. Boundaries for me is actually about keeping myself in, understanding that not all people are going to be mature enough to handle the truth of who I actually am. Many people would rather just work and operate with the judgments and the assumptions that they make of me. All right, what's true for me, my friend, will also be true of you. So boundaries is about holding myself back sometimes and not sharing off myself to a degree that I just don't need to, that perhaps another person isn't ready to experience. All right, so I actually do this out of love for people, because I actually love people, genuinely do love people. Hence the reason I create courses like this, all right? You're never gonna find me, you know, teaching how to make money or teaching how to make a name for yourself or how to, you know, grow, in Facebook followers or anything like this. Why? Because for me, my whole life is about making a positive difference in the imperfect way that I do, because I fundamentally love people. Now, this is where much of the personal development industry kind of fails. And many, many coaches, they talk about self-love. And a lot of people go on this quest in life to love themselves. I want to love myself. I want to feel better about myself. I want to make peace with myself and all this kind of stuff. And guess what the center of attention is? Guess what the primary goal is? Guess what the focus is? That's right, it's self. Well, where the focus goes, the energy flows. And at any given moment in time, we will be either focusing on ourselves or we'll be focusing on other people. And when we are ultimately focused on other people, it can only ever be from a place of love and natural concern. Love, I'm not talking about passionate love here or intimate love or sex or anything like this, but it's possible to love people sometimes from a distance. It's possible to love a person whilst not liking them. It's possible to love a person whilst having nothing to do with them, right? That's one of these interesting pillars of strong relationships. Now, in order for a relationship to grow in strength, all right, a person must be experiencing love through unconditional acceptance, unconditional positive regard. Are you with me? As soon as a person experiences an ounce of judgment or assumption or opinion or anything like this, if a person has been on the receiving end of anything like that in the past, well, they're already have going to determine what love means for them. And if love doesn't mean, or if love certainly isn't assumption or judgment or anything like this, and if a person gets a sniff of this, then that's the trust gone right from the very, very start. So we want to look at the pillar of honor. Honor is about honoring where people are at, all right? So say, for example, I'm working with an ex-forces guy, mentoring or coaching, something like this, who is still, you know, seriously dabbling in drink and drugs and alcoholism, all that sort of thing. Now, I think I mentioned earlier on that I definitely wouldn't commit to a help and coaching relationship with someone who's drinking and taking drugs all the time. And I certainly wouldn't waste my time, giving my time to someone who's under the influence. But if I can see that someone's taking the practical steps towards overcoming, a pattern of unhelpful behaviors, then I will honor this. I will honor people for the level of commitment that they're making towards growing and developing themselves. So honoring people is more about, again, it's unconditionally accepting them and accepting them as an individual, whilst not necessarily buying into or subscribing to or being okay with their habits, their attitudes, their actions, or their behaviors, if that makes sense. Self-control. Sometimes people are going to rub us up in the wrong way. Sometimes people are going to react and respond to us in ways that are completely dishonoring or are completely judgmental or assumptuous. And the question is, how able are we, how willing are we to control ourselves? So when a person says or does something to us that we don't fundamentally like, or that we perhaps might even be absolutely livid with inside, are we going to react, have that emotional reaction, which is just going to completely sever and destroy the trust and end up bringing debate or heated argument or, you know, a fight into a relationship? Or are we going to remain calm under pressure and respond in an honouring way, saying, right, this person right now has just said or done some completely dishonouring things to me. They're operating out of a place of assumption and ignorance. They just simply don't know any better. All right, I'm going to control myself here. I'm not going to respond to what they're saying or what they're doing, even though I don't like it. Why? For the purpose of maintaining the connection in the relationship. Because the second that I react to a person and respond or react to a person's actions, behaviors, attitudes, especially if it's, you know, belittling or undermining of me, that I'm actually just making myself as bad as them. So I don't want to do that, so I can preserve the connection and ultimately maintain the trust. Responsibility. This kind of ties in with the idea of boundaries, all right? I am responsible for me, and you are responsible for you, all right? So you can come to me acting completely out of control, your emotions flying about all over the place, you're saying and doing some things coming from a place of reaction. Just because you're reacting doesn't mean that I have to, right? I can respond to your reaction. I don't have to react to your reaction. All right. And again, this is ultimately what is going to show a person that we're working with that we can be trusted. All right. Now, I'm not saying this is an easy place to get to, but when we can start getting pretty good at being responsible for ourselves all the time, we can demonstrate consistency. And consistency is what many people buy into and grow to respect and admire and trust, where they can say and do what they want to say and do to us. Boundaries will literally state, you know, if you continue to speak to me in this way or act in this way when in my company, then the relationship's going to have to be, it's going to have to stop. We're going to have to get some barriers in place, right? So I'm not willing to tolerate this level of attitude or action or behavior. But I still unconditionally accept you. I'm fine with you. But if you continue to act and behave in this way in my company, then we're going to have to create some space in the relationship. So we give other people the choice as to whether they actually want to also fight for the connection or whether they don't. Right? You catching what I'm cooking here? Some big ideas. Responsibility being the center pillar of a healthy relationship. Think about what a healthy relationship would actually look like, where I'm fully responsible for me, I've taken full responsibility for me, you've taken full responsibility for you. That means that when we get together, I'm not going to need anything from you, you're not going to need anything from me, which leaves us free to simply enjoy each other's company and enjoy the relationship. Or plan some goals, work on a project, overcome some challenges, put the world to right, or whatever. I think many helping relationships, when I say helping, and I'll use that word very, very loosely, many forms of therapy, many alternative therapists, the relationship is very, very different. You know, you can have some problems in your life, you come to me, all right, and I'll take responsibility for you. This just brings, and pretty much gives birth to, a culture of dependency inside of the relationship. Dependency, if you're dependent on me to sustain you, well, that's not me promoting responsibility. And if I really am in this place where I'm taking responsibility for you or trying to take responsibility for you, then it's questionable as to how much responsibility I've actually taken for myself. Are you with me? These ideas might not be for everyone. There's some pretty big ideas, all right, but they might be for you, and I do hope that they are. Truth, all right? How to build a trust-based relationship? By telling the truth. All right, have you ever heard the saying that the truth will set you free, but only first after it's given you a good kick up the arse? All right, there's been times over the years, where I have been met with some rather adverse reactions and responses from people. People have blown up, have screamed and shouted, they've taken massive offence. I mean, Kane Ramsay, how can you say that? You're supposed to be a coach. You're supposed to be a helper. You're supposed to be who I think you're supposed to be. And you've just said this thing to me. Well, I've just told the truth, all right? And it's not that people are taking offence to me. People are just taking offence to the truth that I'm telling. All right, give you a little example of that. Remember the demonstration? I think it was in section 2 of the course, where Karen was talking about her low confidence, and she was tying that in with her ability to speak publicly in a group. And I just asked the question. I said, "So, is it really low confidence, or is it apathy?" Now, what I wasn't saying was that it's not low confidence, it is apathy, all right? Remember, it's not so much what we say sometimes, it's how we say what we say. So if we can frame our truth-based observations in a way that we're simply inviting our clients to accept or reject that which is true, we're going to be able to gauge how responsible and how much responsibility they're actually willing to take for themselves, whether they are open, receptive, right? Just see how everything's tying in right now? So a person's relationship with truth and how willing they are to accept that which is true about why their relationships are the way that they are. Why is your finances the way that your finances are? What's the honest reason why? What's the actual truth? Right? Remember that exercise we looked at earlier on? What's the real reason why? As long as a person is pointing fingers, it's that person's fault why I feel why I do. That person is responsible for my emotions. The reason why I haven't accomplished my goals in life is because those guys never give me an opportunity. It's everyone else's fault. It's society's, it's my teachers, it's mums and dads, it's God's. Everyone else's fault why my life isn't working out the way that it is. But the truth of the matter is, when we stop pointing our fingers in, you know, external directions and start keeping this finger pointed rigidly within, right, we start looking at ourselves, not from a place of we're wallowing in self-pity, but rather what's the honest truth? What part am I playing in my own process here? What part am I playing in getting these outcomes that I'm getting in my life or lack of? If there's a certain goal that I have, why do I have this goal? Why have I not yet accomplished this goal? What part or lack of role am I playing in this process? Right? It's only when people accept that which is true that they become automatically empowered to change. Responsibility is generally, you know, tied in with truth. Our willingness to take responsibility for that which is true about us. Faith. It's an interesting idea, this. As a as a new aspiring life coach, it might even be the case you've been practicing for years. You've got to be a person of faith, all right? If you fundamentally love people, and the only reason you're going to be committed to, you know, helping people in life is because you have an actual love for people, you understand that the basis of every healthy relationship must be unconditional acceptance, but the only thing that's going to keep you going is faith, right? Remember that story I shared right back at the start of the course with Chris, right? It had been about a year and a half, and I had given him all my best stuff. I'd taken him through all the processes, all the techniques. I'd even given the guy money. I'd fed him. I'd given him books. I'd bought him clothes. Everything. Nothing was changing. I didn't understand these ideas back then. I didn't understand that in order for Chris to change, right, he'd have to take responsibility for himself. The truth of the matter was back then that he wasn't yet ready to take responsibility for himself. The truth also was back then was that I was trying to take responsibility for Chris. Therefore, leaving him, it was unnecessary for him to take responsibility because I was giving him money, you know, feeding him, giving him all sorts of stuff. I had pretty much invited Chris to become dependent on me. All right, now why would a person do this? Well, I guess we're only ever going to need other people to be dependent on us to fuel our own insecurity. You might want to write that one down. Just reflect upon that one at some point in the future. But here's the thing, we're only going to commit to the process of continuing to do our best to help and serve people if we are in faith. We can see something perhaps more for them than what they can even see for themselves. And it's not like this faith is even going to be a faith just for us. Faith sometimes can roll over onto other people. Sometimes our faith will be just enough to get people to take that first step. Sometimes our faith will be enough to get a person the whole entire journey. If a person has no hope for a bigger, brighter future, all they can see is doom and gloom. If a person has already seriously subscribed to the idea that what I've experienced in the past is just pretty much a reflection of what I can expect more of in the future, then they're never going to take that first step towards any of the goals that they go on to set that I'm going to give you a framework for in the next section of the course. Sometimes we need to give our clients that little bit of faith so they can take that first step. And how do we do this? By sharing with them vision. Vision for who it is that they can go on to become. And we do this through the core identity coaching model. We do this through, you know, questioning people, helping people to take ownership of what's true about the values, the priorities that they are putting first in their lives. You know, so why are you choosing this when you claim to want that? Why are you choosing this when you claim to want more of this? What is the real part that people are playing in determining the outcomes that they currently have? When we, you know, help our clients to establish a more meaningful vision for their future, then this becomes the basis upon which they move. They grow in confidence in us because we have unconditionally accepted them through the process. It doesn't really matter how they've acted and behaved. And what I'm not saying here is that we tolerate any form of abuse or anything like this. And if a client is just turning up week in, week out and not moving, not budging, not doing anything, well, there's only so much time we want to give that, all right? But as long as we can see that a client is open and receptive and appreciative, then of course we want to continue to invest into the relationship because they are ready to grow. It's just that sometimes people will not grow at the rate that we want them to. Sometimes we need to be a little bit patient. This is something that I must remind myself of every now and again also. So these are the seven pillars of healthy relationships. The foundations being unconditional acceptance that must remain in place throughout. This is the thing about unconditional acceptance. Unconditional acceptance is not tolerance. All right. So if a client is turning up late or they're messing us about or not doing anything, it's not about we must keep this stuff in place. All right. We've got to operate out of the boundaries that we set ourselves. If another human being, a loved one, a family member, a so-called friend is treating us in a dishonorable way, if another person isn't being the kind of person for us that we want to be for them, it's then down to us to choose whether we remain committed to the relationship or not. If a person is quick to assume the worst of us, is that really the kind of people that we want to invest our time and energies and efforts into? Well, again, it's up for you to determine, all right? Are you here to make a difference? Are you here to make money? Or are you here to make a name for yourself? All right. If your overriding main goal is just to make money, just work with everyone. It doesn't make any difference. But if your goal is to really make a difference, then you really want to be looking for those people who are open, receptive, appreciative, all right? And then invest all of this into that relationship. Are you with me? Interesting ideas. These are principles, these are pillars that you can build not just into your professional relationships, but also into your personal ones. Remember, we cannot coach anyone effectively in life through a stage of life that we ourselves have not already moved beyond. If we don't have any strong, robust relationships in our own lives, how could we ever guide or coach other people through developing them in their own lives? Questions that we've got to ask ourselves. Hope you found this idea interesting, and we'll see you again in the next clip.